Do you remember that TV show? What the fuck was it called? Where they like turn into mermaids if they get wet.
No.
And they're all Australian. And every episode is like, oh, Nord, the condensation.
I don't know that at all. What was that on?
It's like a teen drama show.
No.
I think it might have been called like H2O or some shit.
All right.
But like every episode, the issue is water. So they just come up with new and exciting ways. Yeah. For them to accidentally turn into mermaids.
I remember that one show where they all turned into Capri Suns. And they went under the doors.
Is that not a commercial?
No, it wasn't a commercial. It was called, I don't remember what it was called.
You're already too close.
Yeah? Yeah.
You gotta back it the hell up.
Back it up! Alright, hello, welcome to the episodes. My name is Matt Pavich, and today I'm joined by my girlfriend and life partner, Katie Micah. today we're going to be talking about being in a relationship with someone that is bipolar. One, that's me. And how you deal with that. And, yeah. So, I know something that we've struggled with a little bit is how to like check in on me when you think that I'm having an upswing or a downswing. So, what are some tools that you figured out to use when checking in with me on either side of the coin, if you will?
Well, I don't have to do much checking in when you're not feeling too hot. That you can kind of...
It's obvious.
Yeah, you know, and we both know, and it's obvious. But there are, like, red flags, I guess, when you're starting to ramp up a little bit, that we've addressed while you're stable. We've talked about what the red flags are. You know, your family and I know what the red flags are, so...
What are some of the red flags?
just, like, more energy, just wanting to stay out, wanting to, you know, go party, which once in a while is fine, you know, go out, have some fun.
I'm
but
a human. I get to party
you're,
sometimes.
Yeah, you're allowed to have fun, but, yeah, just the watching that happen multiple times in a row starts to be a little bit of a red flag.
Okay.
What else? There's the way you dress gets a little bit different.
Uh-huh.
So, I watch your accessorizing.
You count my accessories?
If you're wearing more than two accessories, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
But just you change. Just there are changes in your behavior that we start to notice and we check in on. But sometimes false alarm, you're just having a good time, which
right.
Yeah, it's difficult for the people around you to figure out which one of those it is. And it's hard not to overstep and, you know, make you feel bad about.
Yeah, because that's something I've talked about and something that I struggle with is like, oh, I'm having a great week and I want to, you know, see my friends and I want to.
And I'm like, no.
No.
But of course I like want you to be happy and
yes.
want you to do things that make you happy.
Yeah. I think some other red flags are my smoking intake.
Mm-hmm.
How much I'm smoking. What did you want to say?
I mean, you
say?
Be
jeweling
morning tonight, baby.
I be jeweling morning tonight, but...
You mean cigarettes?
I think cigarettes in the past have been an issue for me. Mm-hmm. And I think... How fast I'm talking and like pressured speech is a big red flag because I'm not really a super talkative guy.
No.
Yeah. So
that's actually something I'm like, do you have anything to say in our normal day to day life?
Yeah.
You're a pretty quiet guy. So when you're talking a lot and.
Yeah. Having strong opinions.
Oh, yeah. There's not a strong opinion in sight. Normally, we're a neutral guy.
We were talking about how I want to be a stand-up comedian, and I am a stand-up comedian, but, like, all these comedians have very strong opinions on things, and I am sort of...
He's a neutral fellow.
I'm a neutral guy. I'll take my coffee any which way. Two sugars, three sugars, milk.
However you like it.
No milk, oat milk, soy milk... Yeah. Throw a little rice milk in there. Get crazy. I don't care. Whatever you got back there, just make sure it's coffee and get it to me because I need my coffee in the morning. But I'm not like a particularly opinionated person, which might be the detriment to my career.
Might be a detriment. No, you could be a neutral guy and still have things to talk about. And
right. So I think we should like try and figure out how to differentiate between like good mood Matt Pavich and manic Matt Pavich or hypomanic Matt Pavich. And that's like an important thing for everybody to understand is there are differences, you know, and catching it as soon as possible before you ramp up too much is a huge...
There is this pressure on, like, the people around you to, like, catch it as soon as possible because every time you go into a manic episode, it ends the exact same way with you in the hospital. So we feel this, like, immense pressure to, like, get a hang of it, get a hold of it as soon as we can so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, trying to keep me out of that psych ward.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, you have to have trust in you and faith in you to, you know... navigate it yourself. You're the one dealing with this condition.
And to be honest, which is something I struggle with when I'm manic, I lie a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is a really tough line to dance.
Yeah, it's like you have to be able to submit to the people around you and know that sometimes... we know better.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Yeah. Because you know, your own brain, you're the one with the condition. So sometimes I'm the one who has to submit and say, you know better. And sometimes you're the one who has to submit and say, you know better. But it's just figuring out when. And I don't know.
Yeah. I think something very interesting about our relationship and our dynamic is that we met when I was ramping up.
Mm-hmm. Like right at the peak of your hypomania.
Right. So that was a really interesting struggle and sort of getting to know me after I had this manic episode and mm-hmm. you stuck by me and thank you for that, obviously. But how difficult was that for you? Because you didn't really know who I was.
Right.
It was like the real me. You were just mm-hmm. seeing this side of me. How did you sort of deal with that?
Well, when I first met you, there were still like glimmers of who you were. Like you were still a charismatic, caring person. That started to disappear as your mania got worse, as you were, you know, more deep in it.
Yeah.
But getting to know your family and your friends and your support system made me want to stick around for who was on the other side of this. Everybody was, you know, this is not who he normally is. This is not how he normally behaves. You know, Matt is an amazing person. And your support system being so, like, steadfast for you was a big part of why I wanted to see who you were.
Yeah, I'm so lucky in that regard that I have an incredible support system around me. And I encourage everyone that has this awful disorder or whatever you want to call it to condish to make sure that you do have a support system around you because you can't really trust your own thinking and your own brain when you are manic and when you are depressed. So if you are in a place right now where you can sort of organize a support group around you, whether it be psychiatrists, therapists, mm-hmm. family members, friends, people you trust to tell you when you're acting different, it's so important to honor their understanding of what's happening because your brain is literally playing tricks on you. So I really encourage everyone to try and get a support system around them. One thing that was taught to me at a very early stage of me being diagnosed was mm-hmm. to write yourself a letter.
Mm-hmm.
In a sober mind and say, you know, hey, this is my name. This is a disease, like a disorder that
just
I know
reality.
That I have.
Yeah, just like writing out your reality.
Yeah. If and when the people around me say that I need help, I will get help. Mm-hmm. And you tuck that in to an envelope.
Have you done that?
I did do that a long time ago.
Did it work?
It didn't work. for me, because I was like, fuck. Once they brought out the letter, I was like,
you like, y'all made me write this.
Yeah, exactly. You made me write this letter. This is bullshit.
You've
you guys
even
are just
said,
trying to
like,
control
oh,
me.
Yeah, I want to get like a tattoo that says, like, listen. And I'm like, you would come up with some, you guys forced me to get this tattoo. And
yeah.
Yeah. So it's difficult to find something that works or yeah. that you'll actually like
but I've
you
read
have
that
very
works
little
for
like
people.
Moments of clarity while you're manic so
very
like,
few yeah there's so, almost none yeah, yeah especially when I'm fully in there there is no clarity at all so I know you said that it's easy to identify when I am depressed but like you have been able to help me through some of these depressive episodes. What is some advice that you have to people who are dealing with a loved one that is going through a major depressive episode or even a minor depressive episode?
Just riding it out with them, not pressuring your partner to speed it up, get through it. Just understanding that this is, you know, how it's going to be right now, and that's okay. And just helping you complete basic tasks throughout the day so that
getting me up
can, yeah so
yeah,
that we can
making
set
sure
you
I
up
brush
for,
my teeth
yeah shower
getting
eat.
Me in the shower yeah 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 those things sound so easy and like we know that those are like things that you have to do in life but when you are in that depressive state like
no,
those
there's
things
like no
are,
motivation to do any of it so.
Those things are so hard just little things like that so yeah so just helping people get through the basic tasks.
Just
I think
get through
listening.
The day. Yeah, listening and I don't know about for you, but for me, like, just not putting any pressure on the situation to be over. Like,
yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Because when you feel that, like, I'm not myself and now this person...
It's already so uncomfortable and you
so
don't want to feel that way, of course.
Yeah.
So.
And then if someone's like, just snap out of it,
yeah,
that's
like,
really...
it could be, you know, it could be worse. It could practice gratitude and it's like, I would if I could, you know?
Yeah. Well, I do think gratitude can
yeah,
help.
Yeah, of course. But,
and that is
but,
part of, like,
you know, validating your partner for what they're going through
yeah.
is also really important.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I imagine there's, like, some resentments and...
I wouldn't call it a resentment.
Okay.
I would call it PTSD.
PTSD.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just because... At the point we met one another, I wasn't in the greatest headspace either. We both were, like, you know, not doing too hot. And I threw myself in head first and took on this role of, like, caretaker for you. And that was a lot, like, just immediately, you know? Like, I didn't even know you yet. So I feel like figuring out our dynamic and figuring out how we communicate with one another and... just like not holding anything against you for that time was difficult. I've kind of, you know, figured it out and forgiven, but I think it's hard, especially when you just don't remember like massive times in the beginning of our relationship that were like super traumatic for me.
Yeah.
And to carry that by myself sometimes has been, you know,
yeah, and there's things
like,
that you like
to get
still
back
haven't
at you,
told me.
But yeah,
that I've done or said, and I just don't know these things.
I've thought about it. I've thought about, you know, sticking it to you and saying, you know, you put me through this and you put me through that. But at the end of the day, you have enough guilt that you carry. You have enough dealing
shame.
With this. Yeah, dealing with this condition day to day. That it's just. Wouldn't help either of us, and there's no point in making you feel worse about it.
Well, thank you for not making me feel worse. I really appreciate that.
Anytime.
thanks. Yeah, so how did you sort of you said you like dealt with it and are still dealing with it, but like what are some ways that you were able to release sort of the PTSD that you had from the situation?
Talking about it? Yeah, talking about it in not a way that, you know, is... I'm not blaming you or bashing you, but just being able to talk about it and be open and tell you how things made me feel has been a huge help. And just trying to make sure we don't repeat things that
happened.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I mean, that sounds so simple, but that really is...
Having it be an open conversation all the time.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a secret. This is not something that we hide. This is not something that we don't address. It's something we talk about all the time.
We address this shit every day.
Yeah, but that's, like, super, super important for both of us.
Yeah, for anyone dealing with this, I think it's very important to... You got to be honest, and you have to be open with the people that are in your life and you care about, because otherwise, you know, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to others. And
just being
And I've done
prepared.
That. I've, you know, been in things where I was saying that I was taking my meds and I wasn't, or I was lying about how much I was drinking or doing drugs or whatever. And it really doesn't help anyone.
Do you think that was like to protect your partner from like having responsibility, or was that more just a denial period of like, I think I need to keep addressing this?
I think a part of it was denial for sure, and a part of it was like trying to get some of the control back.
Mm-hmm. But that's like a huge thing. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Like, sometimes you have to release control
with
this and hand it over to your family and friends who know.
I know, but it's a very difficult
thing to say. Of course, it's your life.
Here's
the
control of my life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
everyone wants to feel a little bit in control. It makes you feel even more unhinged when everything is out of your control.
Yeah.
Like, a big trigger for me in past episodes has been my family takes my phone away. And my phone
represents
all of the control, all of my contact to the outside world,
right.
All of my notes, all of everything.
Yeah.
And it feels like this massive power switch.
Yeah.
And it really
sends... It's hard to recognize that it's for your own good in the moment.
I know. It really is. But it needs to be done.
But it is 100% for your own good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm posting nonstop. I'm not saying that it's the wrong way to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying
that's really difficult to give up.
Complete control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hate it. what have we got here?
We don't like it either, you know.
No, of course. Yeah, taking over someone's life must be a fucking major headache as well. And like, people have their lives that they're trying to do. They're trying to go to work, and I'm out gallivanting till 4 a.m. And we have a fucking family. What's that called?
Intervention.
The next day at 8 a.m.
Everybody's
it must be a
crying.
Real huge pain in the ass for
everybody. No, it's not a pain in the ass. It's just difficult to watch somebody you love go through that and not be receptive to your advice or your, you know.
To reality. I'm not perceptive
to
reality.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we had a little camera situation. But we're back. So, what were we just talking about? bipolar disorder is what
we were
talking
about. Bipolar 1.
Here we go. So we're talking, I think we were talking about not remembering things. Is that what we were talking about?
At some point.
At some point we were, So I know that that's like part of being bipolar and having a manic episode is memory.
Mm-hmm. Like blacking out,
completely not remembering things. But you've said that you also have like pushed things out of your memory.
I can't. When we were speaking beforehand about, you know, our episode and what we were going to talk about, you were asking my memories of when we first met, and it's like really hard for me to gauge how much time went by. Like, it's all kind of pretty hazy.
Yeah.
I think for a couple of reasons. I think one, because you weren't sleeping, so in turn I wasn't really sleeping because I was running around with you trying to get a hold of you, trying to control you, trying to put you to sleep. I was like carrying around Benadryl in my pocket to try and like drug you to sleep, which is probably not great.
Yeah, we don't recommend that. But
we don't recommend it, but I was like at my wit's end. I had no idea what to do, and people were just telling me get him to sleep, and that's like the only way I knew how, and that didn't even work. But it was so hazy because it was so reckless and chaotic and such a traumatic time that I don't know if I don't remember because I didn't sleep and because of that, or because it was traumatic and I pushed it subconsciously.
That is a real trauma response.
Out of my brain.
No, that is a real trauma response for all sorts of traumas. People say that happens all the time. So that does make sense.
I remember certain things, but really time is so... I have no idea how much time
passed. How long it lasted, what month it was.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I mean, that episode was so long.
Yeah. Even after, even when you came down really hard and were in that depressive episode, I barely remember how long that lasted. It was just such a hazy, dream-like time.
Yeah.
So wild.
Wild. And we were picking up so many pieces, mm-hmm. and we were so poor.
Oh, my God, so poor. You ran me dry.
Sorry, I apologize.
It's not really your fault, but...
Yeah. I also destroyed your Uber rating.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of things plummeted when we first started taking it.
Bank accounts.
And Uber rating.
Uber rating.
Yeah, because we would get an Uber, you wanted to play your music.
My fantastic rap records.
I'd be like, no, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry.
There's still some songs that I've remixed that if you hear the beat, you have a trauma response.
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah. There's a couple of things. There's outfits that you wear. There's a jacket that you wear that's,
It's okay.
That's camouflage.
Yeah.
That sends me into a...
Oh, okay. I won't wear that. I won't wear that.
Okay.
Hey, Bella, you want to talk about being bipolar?
What's your experience?
How does it affect you, Bella?
Yeah.
Come here. Come on. You can't be in front of the camera.
You're ruining Daddy's episode.
You're ruining my episode.
So long. Anyway, there are just certain things that you did or you wore during your manic episode that
are still
give me, me a little bit of PTSD.
Yeah, I feel that. I remember one day, I don't remember which episode it was, but I went to 48th Street Park, which is a park by my house, and I had bought all of these bottles of rosé as gifts. For people that I was working with, my manager and my agent.
You were big into
gifts. Oh yeah, I give everything away.
Mm-hmm.
I give
everything.
The clothes off my back to strangers.
Yeah. Yeah. And suddenly more clothes also appear. People start giving you things.
Really?
Yeah. Remember that you had a chain that somebody gave
you. Oh yes. The power chain.
And
Yeah, the lion.
I don't know how somehow it becomes something other people do with you as well. There's a swapping.
Yeah, there's a big clothing swap.
Yeah. Sorry, anyway.
No. So I was at this park with four bottles of warm rosé in my bag because I had leftovers, and I was playing basketball with 15-year-old kids.
Of course.
Drinking rosé, warm rosé at the park. And I ran into my buddy, and he was like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It was 10 a.m.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, why are you drinking rosé with 15-year-olds and playing basketball? And I was like, oh, man, I'm good, man. I'm, having a really great day. And I just had, leftover gifts for these people that I work with. And he was like, dude, you have to go home. And I was like, no, fuck you. And I'd be, got into, a little bit of a fight about me being at a basketball court and playing. And, I'll still see one of those kids that's grown up.
Really?
And I have the most embarrassment of all time.
Really?
Yeah, because they just think I'm a neighborhood crazy person.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I was going through it, obviously. And it sucks that, that's just the way those people know me.
You have had so many experiences, with people that you have never spoken to again.
Yeah. And they just think that's who I am.
Yeah.
It sucks. And I guess it's part of the dealing with it all. But I'm sure other people can relate to that. You have your manic friends and they sort of disappear and you're just left with these pictures and like half memories.
Yeah.
And you thought they were like best friends.
Yeah.
And they're just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting how like each of your friends or people in your life deal with your manic episodes. Like some have a difficult time trying to calm you down, and like their way of going about it is like, you know, aggressive and
yeah,
like everybody's reaction to it is so interesting to me.
Well, people don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows what to do. And, you know, there's different, everyone reacts to things differently, and yeah, everyone has a different amount of knowledge around the bipolar and like what it is.
Right, I think that's the biggest part is some people...
A lack of education.
Yeah.
I know.
Like they want to help you so badly, but they just have no idea how to, and
yeah,
it resorts to just like
violence,
wanting to shake it out of you, like, yeah, come on, get it together, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
I remember after a psych ward visit one time, I was in the car with my buddy and two of my buddies and my dad, and he kept being like, you know, your friend, and I was like, my brother. And he was like, yeah, he's not your brother, he's your friend. And I was like, my brother.
Oh, okay.
And my dad was like, no, he's not your brother, he's your friend. And I was just like, he's my brother, we've been through so much together, he's my brother. And my dad was like, that doesn't define you. And then my buddy was like, dude, we're friends. Like, I'm not your brother.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I love you to death, but, like what are we arguing about? We're arguing about semantics right now?
Yeah,
like,
but that's just, like, kind
I know, that's,
of... You're testy. Like, you just want to...
I just want to fight. I just want to argue.
Yeah.
And my brain thinks it's right in every capacity.
Yeah.
And, we played pitch and putt. And that day, and it was not a good day.
No.
I was like fresh out of the psych ward and still manic, not taking my meds.
You were still manic when you came out of the psych ward. When
I don't think I was fully manic, but I was definitely not well enough to leave the hospital.
No.
They should not have released me.
No.
Yeah, I tricked them.
You tricked them?
I think I
tricked them. Well, I think your meds hadn't kicked in yet.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
They do take time.
They take time. And I think they knew, like, eventually he's going to crash. So
right,
we're going to let him out if he stays on his meds.
Is that the right thing to do, though?
No.
Should they be
No.
It's going to take time. Let him do the time
on
the outside.
That's, I think, what they decided.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember being beside myself when... You were like, I'm out. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I was, you know, getting myself ready to see you. And I was wondering what you were going to be like.
Uh-huh.
You know, they let you out. I assumed you were better.
Well, yeah.
And you were not better. And I just went in the bathroom and sobbed my little eyes out.
I'm sorry.
Like, what am I going to do? Like,
yeah. This is... You thought I'd be better after the old psych ward visit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, like, visiting you in there. It was a nuts time.
It was a nuts time.
Nutty time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it, going through something so traumatic and crazy, for lack of a better word.
There's a better word.
At the top of our, okay. Chaotic.
It was chaotic, yes.
Maybe that... it's not a good thing, I don't think, but, you know, going through something like that at the very top of your relationship makes you feel kind of like, wow, maybe we can do anything. We can get through anything together, you know?
I feel like that in a major way.
Yeah.
From the fire rose the ashes. Is that a saying?
No.
From the embers.
From the ashes. A phoenix?
I don't know. There's something about ashes.
From the ashes, yeah.
What's the saying?
Our love was born.
Our love was born. We made a fire through the air. We found love in a hopeless place. That's back-to-back Rihanna episode references.
Ah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
With Sean. Yeah. I feel like that. And then we went through COVID and, you know, it's...
like, we're unstoppable,
we're
baby.
We're unstoppable. The dream team.
Mm-hmm,
if we can get through this, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
But I do have moments of, like, oh, if... I don't know if I could go through that again.
I remember telling you when I got out of the hospital...
Because I love you.
I remember telling you when I got out of the hospital, if that happens again, leave. And I was pretty serious about it.
Oh, I would never.
But you might.
Unless, like, it came to a point where you didn't care about your condition.
Yeah.
That is, like, a deal breaker for me. Like, I can't be in control of how much you care about taking care of yourself. I can support you and help you and try to, you know, guide you in the right direction, but I can't make you care about it.
No,
and pressure, like, I just can't take, nobody could take on, you know?
No, that's a great point, is, like, how much...
Bella is just causing havoc, wreaking havoc in the corner.
Yeah, she's playing with a toy. But having... how much you, like, diligence you have in taking care of yourself is so important.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them take their medicine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can be as supportive as possible, and they're still, it's still on me.
You have to want to do it for you first and foremost. Yeah. Of course, you know, doing it also for the people that you love, I get that, but it has to be, it's your life, and, you know, you're the one who matters, you're the one who deals with this condition, and you have to, you know...
take care of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, everybody does.
And I'll be here to support.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for supporting. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point.
Yeah, I'm full of them.
Full of good points. I should have wrote more notes here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You want to do a song?
Mm-hmm.
You want to sing a song?
Mm-hmm.
Which song would you like to sing?
Cher, If I Could Turn Back Time.
Do it.
Okay. If I could turn back time.
Not the best Cher.
If I could find a way.
Pretty good.
No?
It sounds beautiful, but it doesn't sound like Cher. Mm. Yeah.
I'll work on it.
Please. Come back next
Bring
time.
Bring it to the next step.
Yeah.
Just peer
That's
in.
That's the intro.
If I could...
the intro music.
I've been working on my share.
Yeah. How do you handle... Because, like, as a creative person, I am always in turmoil in my brain. you know, the inner battles of being a creative... how annoying is that for you to have to listen to me complain about
Well,
all the time?
I go through the same things
right.
internally, you know.
Yeah, that is something that we have in common, which is beautiful. We are both performers, so we get the
imposter syndrome and feeling like, you know, the journey you plan for yourself, you know, isn't happening, and
but
now
some
you have
people
to come
don't
up with
have
ways.
Imposter syndrome, and it looks so good.
Yeah, I wonder what
it
it's like
so
to believe in yourself and believe that you deserve, you know, the opportunities
Success.
You're given. And
yeah,
that must be so nice.
That's, I think, the secret.
Not every step of the way being like, I don't belong here. I don't belong. You know.
I think that's the secret to success.
I think a lot of it is, like, faking it till you feel it. Is that not... I mean...
Faking it till you're making it, till making it is part of it. But I think also having this thing in your brain where you're like, I deserve everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's a disorder.
That's what
I think.
I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Is, like, do my manic thoughts have some... Should I think in manic thoughts sometimes in order to be... Like, where's the line between, like, you know, I'm the best and, you know, I'm going to make it,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, a healthy, I guess, necessary thought for being successful. Like,
I mean...
I guess this is more a question for myself,
yeah.
but also, but also I'm curious about...
I do believe, like... No one is going to take a shot on you, believe in you, if you don't believe in yourself. If you
right.
don't advocate for yourself and and truthfully think that you are capable of great things.
But it's so hard for me to...
But there's a difference between saying I'm the greatest in the world and saying I'm capable of great things.
But it's close.
It's close. It is close.
It's really close.
It is close.
Having the constant mindset of you're going to succeed, you're going to succeed, you're going to succeed, you're going to succeed. I'm great, I'm great, I'm great is very close to how my manic brain works.
Right. So you have to be careful of...
I'm constantly checking myself, like, oh, this idea that I have is I think it's a great idea. Like, let me make this video.
And then you're, like, running it by. Like, I don't like that. I mean, personally, I don't know. Everybody's different. But having an idea and, like, running it by a bunch of people.
No, you have to just make it.
Yeah, exactly.
But then
you have to trust that it's, like, good enough to make. That is the risk, like, that it stinks. And sometimes things you make are going to stink.
I don't have a huge problem with just putting it out and seeing how the world reacts. I love that. That's like my most...
It's my favorite part
of releasing something is like, ooh, I wonder how the people are going to respond.
Yeah.
But I struggle with, and I'm sure a lot of people struggle with, and even someone that is not mentally ill or diagnosed mentally ill.
No, that's just like lack of confidence in yourself and...
Yeah. It's a real tightrope to balance.
It is.
And I'm struggling with it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, every day.
Mm-hmm.
The struggle between, I love this idea. I'm going to make this video with no budget. And, like, that's something I've done in the past, and it worked out great.
Mm-hmm.
But then all this, whoa, check yourself. You got to, you know, reel it back in. And, like, I don't know how healthy that is either.
I don't think that... I mean, reeling it in, like, the things that worry us are, like, you not getting sleep and... you being out all hours of the night and you, you know, doing drugs or drinking, like, you having an idea and, like, bringing it to fruition, like, isn't a red flag.
Okay. I feel like it has been in the past, no? I feel like...
Well, when you're manic...
When it's, like, a compulsive idea.
Yeah, that's, like, a compulsive thing where, like, you'll have this half-baked idea and, like, bring it... And do it, but, like, not do it well, not really care about the product, just getting things out.
Yeah.
Like, you would make these songs and be like, I'm going to put it out. And I'd be like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like, this is not very good. You know, I would say it in the nicest way I could. I wasn't telling you were bad, but I was, you know, I don't think this is done. And you'd be like, it's art, baby. Like, I'm just going to put it out the way it is. But you don't do that when you are stable. You care very much about the material that you're putting out, whether you have a big budget or not. You're bringing it full. You know, it's not half baked. It's not like a half idea.
All right. Well, that's a good indicator of the issue that I'm having.
And creativity is a good thing, and you should
of course
do that and do what makes you happy. And I know that in the back of your head, it must be difficult to gauge, like, what is a good idea and what isn't. But that's just, like, also being a human being. Like, you just don't know. You don't have confidence in things that you're...
Which brings me to my next point.
Okay.
I'm quitting comedy.
Oh, no.
I put out this album. I'm going to put out this album and retire.
It's your goodbye
album? It's my goodbye album.
No, you're just getting started.
I haven't told many people this, but I'm done. No, I'm joking, obviously, but...
He's editing his own album,
which must be... Torture.
Torturous.
Yes.
To watch yourself over and over and be like... And then by the end of it, you're like, this stinks. Complete confidence in every joke.
Yeah. But that was a little nervous time for me, was when I was really pushing towards the album. I was, you know... Getting everything
in order. Posting a lot.
Posting about the album a lot. I was like, ooh, I posted 8 stories today. Am I okay? And
no, there's a reason behind.
I know, but that felt healthy.
And you checked yourself, which
is great. I did check myself, and I'm glad that I'm in a space where I can check myself.
Yeah.
And it is huge, but it is really fucking annoying also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
to constantly be checking myself.
Yeah, to not just be able to do to without there being like always freely. A second
it
thought
feels
behind
like anti-artist mm-hmm. almost.
Yeah.
It feels anti-art
mm-hmm.
to constantly be thinking, is this a good idea?
I think maybe make a list of sorts of positive ways you can be creative, positive versions of creativity, and then a list of not positive versions of creativity.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, just making a clear distinction between them so you're not constantly thinking, is this like a good way of being productive, or is this a negative, like, is this not how I should be productive?
Yeah, let's do that right now.
Okay.
What good versus bad. all right, good comedy. Well,
posting on social media, you know when it's a good time and when you have a purpose for the post.
Comedy,
and when you're just posting to post and, you know, you
purposeful
feel like everything post. That you have to say is important.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a bit of a red flag. But when you have something that you're promoting or that you want people to come to or that you want people to watch, that's a good reason to
yes,
post something.
Purposeful posts.
Purposeful.
Purposeful
things.
comedy clips would be a good thing that I could post.
Mm-hmm.
I will be posting very shortly.
Yes.
Clips from my album. Bad. Rap music.
Rap music. That's it.
That's it. Okay. Well, I'm glad we made that list.
Yep. Good job.
Yeah. I do love making music, though, and that sucks. Because I've been making music since on GarageBand, like for my family and like that
same.
Song I made for
my mom.
I made
a whole musical when I was like 11.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how good it is, it's just fun.
Nobody has to see it.
Yeah. That's what I need
it's
to.
It's fun. Yeah, just understanding this is something
this
that
is
the world
no
should
one.
See and this is for no one.
This is for me
which
and my
you can't really see when you're in a manic state.
No,
you're
no.
like everything is for everyone.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
everything
yeah.
I do should be seen by everyone.
Everyone. Yeah, yeah.
I'm
just trying to create a spectacle.
Right.
I did make a song about Bella,
mm-hmm.
and I think the world should see
is
that.
Is we premiering it? Is this the premiere?
Bella's my cat, and I would like
I'm
you
on
all.
The backup.
You are?
I'm on backup.
You are on backup, and you're doing an amazing job. So we might drop that.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah. We made some stuff in quarantine that I'm like, was this good?
No.
Or were we bored?
We were bored. We were bored.
Well, silly
was,
and fun.
Was,
and
yeah, it got us through.
Right.
And I think that's important. It doesn't always have to be the most incredible art. It can
right.
just be something that makes you
that
happy.
That made you feel good,
that
yeah.
made you feel good. That
mm-hmm.
you know, you. It's better than that than fucking scrolling on Instagram for six
right.
hours
or
TikTok.
Doing nothing or not ever putting anything out because you don't have confidence in it or
yeah fear
mm-hmm.
yeah
fear really gets in the way
crippling
mm-hmm.
crippling fear.
I have gotten in my own way more times than I can count.
Yeah, my whole career is me getting in my own way.
Yeah.
So that's fun. I didn't start the stopwatch.
6666666.
Yeah. So yeah, here's the Bella song right now. I'm gonna premiere the Bella song right here. Cute, cute, kitty cat. Cute, cute, kitty cat. Cute, cute, Bella Jacka, Bella Jacka, Bella Jacka. Cute, cute, Bella Jacka. Cute, cute, Bella Jacka. Cute, cute, Bella Jacka. Cute, cute, cute.
Hello.
Bella Jaca song. It's called Bella Jaca.
Because of the Frere Jaca song.
Frere Jaca, Frere Jaca.
And then naturally, you would insert Bella's name.
Bella's name, Bella Jaca. That's her that's her middle name. No, what is it?
Bella Jaca Pavich.
Bella Jaca
Bella Jaca Mica Pavich.
Bella Jaca Mica Pavich, yes. Yeah. So, in closing, I think we should just go over some things that have been working for us in handling this awful, you know, I shouldn't say awful, this...
difficult.
This difficult, difficult situation, yeah. I think for me, the most important things are your support, just your unwavering help when I am in a low point, making sure that I wake up, brushing, helping me, you know, make sure I brush my teeth and making sure I get enough sleep and all that. Communication, huge. Just having an open dialogue for me to tell you how I'm feeling, you to tell me how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Just being open and honest about my mood and that I'm taking my meds, if I'm taking my meds and all that stuff is huge.
But also not, like, suffocating you, which... has been difficult because I want so badly for you to be well all the time and feeling like I need control of the situation has been like a hard thing for me to let go of.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, I think I'm figuring it out.
So what are some things that you need from me and vice versa?
Some things I need from you are just... same, just like checking in with me, letting me know how you are and what you're doing. And for a while, like, I had a difficult time with you being out without me because when we first met, I was with you like every waking moment, navigating the night and making sure that nothing bad happened. And having to like let go of that was pretty difficult for me. But knowing that you really care about your condition and controlling it has helped me let go. And
All right. That's great. And that's it. Thank you so much for being a guest on the episodes. I really appreciate you doing this.
Of course.
I love you.
I love you.
I don't know why I gave you my cheek.
Weird. I don't know. It's like normal guest thing.
Yeah.
We shake hands.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
This next ad is from. Thank you so much.
Of course, I'm so proud of you.
I love you.
I love you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
See you in the
living room.